Hello and welcome back to another episode, the week two review of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I am one third, or I guess one half of your hosting crew today. Walker Lott is my other and arguably better half. We had to fire Ryan Schroeder from the show regarding some controversial comments he made about the state of Botswana last episode. Really tragic stuff. I mean,
again, honestly, this is the second time we've had to fire him. It's,
I mean, listen, the first time you say something negative about Botswana, you can let it slide. But once it's a repeat offense, I mean, we really couldn't look past it. Ryan's provided some great. Okay, no, Ryan's still with the show, obviously. He, as far as I'm aware, is traveling back from DFW today. I know it's crazy. We all have schedules that conflict sometimes, but again, have to shout out Ryan for all the work that gets done on Friday nights, editing and posting our YouTube clips. Good stuff from him. He will be back on our week three preview episode, which you will see this coming Thursday. But as for the man that is here with me, Walker Lott, you're probably enjoying this previous week a little bit better than I did because I haven't even tallied the pick records, but it didn't sound great to me. So
yeah,
how are you feeling?
I'm doing great. I'm going to be doing that while you're doing your introduction because that has to be a fantastic day for me. I think out of the picks we did, I think I only lost two games if I had to put money on it. And yeah, so very good with me. Shout out to Second Baptist for the hat. Looking fire today. And yeah, this is a good week. Good week for Walker.
Yeah, that Fort Worth Christian pick, it's going to go down as one of the worst picks I've ever had in my time on this podcast. No disrespect to Fort Worth Christian, but obviously, I mean, I got caught up in the hype. It's what we kind of do as analysts. We ride trends, and obviously I haven't seen Fort Worth Christian or Second Baptist in person yet. And I was like, well, I'm just going to take a flyer on the team that just went crazy week one. And I guess Covenant Christian isn't a great measuring stick, but we will get more to that here in a second. But yeah, obviously I was at Grace Community versus First Baptist, and well, we know how that game went. We will go over that later. But in all seriousness, it was a fun game. I really loved to get to see people on both sides at Grace Community and First Baptist. A lot of people from Grace that I hadn't seen or talked to in a long time, and a lot of people from First Baptist that have been so incredibly good to us since we started the podcast. I really got to shout out Coach LaVorn, Coach D-Rob, and everyone else that has really, really welcomed me into that program and allowed me kind of free reign to go and shoot what I want. But Walker Lott, I will interrupt you for a second. I'm going to bring this segment back. It's not really a segment, but as you can see, I've got my record player set back up. I've missed it for about a year and a half now. It's one of my favorite things that I own. But
yes.
So I've got this record right here. We're not going to guess the record because it says Bob Dylan on the front of it.
Right.
For a free lunch the next time that we meet, can you name me three Bob Dylan songs? And do not Google it.
Man, my parents are going to be so mad at me for this. No, I don't think I can. If you showed me a song by Bob Dylan, I'd be like, oh, I know that song, but I don't know if I could do it. No, I don't think so.
Does Like a Rolling Stone ring a bell?
Oh yeah, I do.
The times,
yeah,
they are a changing.
Yes.
Hurricane.
Does one involve like a tambourine?
Yeah, Tambourine Man.
Okay, maybe one. Yeah. I got one.
Bob Dylan wrote the majority of songs that, yes, Bob Dylan wrote the majority of your favorite songs that other artists sing, because Bob Dylan has a terrible voice, quite frankly, but is a fantastic songwriter. And for some reason, I like his voice kind of in the same vein as Neil Young. Anyways, this is the Texas Private School Football Podcast, not the Bob Dylan podcast. I just got to sneak that in where I can. Walker, do you have the pick records tallied up, or will we come back to that?
Do we have a final score on Grace Prep? Do you know? I think Grace Prep lost this week. They lost to Covenant Christian. Yeah.
Yes.
So looking at the thing, if I did this correct, we picked 19 games a week. I went 17-2. Shout out to me. You went 13-6.
That's not awful.
And then 15-4 for Ryan Schroeder.
Well, not going to sit here and say it's the greatest thing in the world, but honestly, would you say 13-6 for me?
Yeah, 13-6.
I've had better weeks. I've had worse weeks, but I mean, good on you. You're, especially in these early weeks when there's chaos, usually the guy that comes out of that the least scathed has the best chance to take over the pick record. that I will actually reorder the trophy for this year since I've lost it for the last couple of years. That aside, congratulations, Walker. Good start. I honestly thought I was going to do a lot worse because I thought I was going to go 1-4 in games of the week. But who was it? All Saints kind of, nope. Yeah, All Saints kind of saved my hide in that one. But you
Yeah,
know what? Let's just,
shout out to All Saints, man. That was
dude.
much needed.
That helped us very much. But speaking of games played last week, let us get straight into the TXPS Media football scoreboard that Ryan Schroeder so wonderfully puts together every week. We will start by skipping the first five games in the left-hand column because we will recap those in depth further. One sentence each, get through this a little bit faster than last week. Walker, Nolan Catholic beats Bishop Dunn 42-13. My sentence is good on Nolan, step in the right direction.
That is a great on Nolan. Good for them. Stepping definitely in the step in the right direction. And this is the level. I'm not saying this is the level of competition they need, but playing the teams like they did last year in non-conference definitely did not help them. So this is what they needed to get those wins in non-conference. By the way, I just updated it. Ooh, I can see it there. 30
There you
and
go.
8, 26 and 12, and then 23 and 15 for West Tolleson.
Dude, how bad did I do week one? Good God Almighty.
Very bad,
Yeah, okay.
that's a lot.
Yeah, I got some ground to make up. But next game, Frisco Legacy beats Brook Hill 14-9. I'm not going to mince words. Probably a bad showing by Frisco Legacy. You cannot beat a team. If you're a Division One team in the District of Doom, you cannot beat a team that almost lost to Redwater by 5 points. I need to dig in further what happened there, but maybe Brook Hill's better than we thought. Maybe Legacy's worse. Maybe it's just one game.
Dude, I need some info on that one. That's an ugly score, to say the least. I don't even know how ugly the game was, but that is an ugly score. But I mean, does not bode well for my thought on Frisco Legacy and Taps Division One this year. I'll just leave it at that. But
No,
I mean, it's week two.
Concordia Lutheran, Bushwhacks John Cooper 37-3. Tanner Huckfelt is the truth.
Yeah, that team is going to be very, very good this year. That is what I wanted to see. I just want wins after wins and dominant wins. And in a game like that, where Tanner Huckfelt went 15 to 21, 3 touchdowns and 215 passing yards, that's a solid night for the senior quarterback. And yeah, the Concordia, like we've said all offseason, they're going to be a good team this year, and they're showing it week after week.
Sounds good. I'm going to enforce a hard and fast rule for the rest of these games. One sentence, because we're getting into about 6-7 sentence territory.
Fair, fair,
Moving
fair.
on, Brentwood demolishes St. Dominic Savio. Savio not as great as they were. Brentwood better.
Yeah, Savio fall from grace after great senior class leaves. Shout out Braden Jennings.
Midland Christian beats Bishop Lynch 22-3. I thought Bishop Lynch took a step forward this year. Really good showing on Midland and a dominant defensive effort.
Yeah, interesting one for Bishop, hearing more about it, but big win for Midland at the home, and also homecoming for them.
We can skip this next game if you want to, Walker. DC absolutely wails on Southwest Christian 42-13. Closer game than I expected for a short period of time, but DC doing DC things yet again.
Yeah, closer than expected in the first half, but I mean, good win for DC, I guess. SES got the injury bug before the season even started. Rough times.
Covenant Christian beats Grace Prep 31-10. Nice bounce back after faltering at the hands of Fort Worth Christian.
Yeah, I forget the running back's name for Covenant Christian, but he's gonna be a big time player for them. Eno Etta's younger brother's there too. They're a solid squad in Division Three this year.
Hyde Park loses to Lutheran South 41-22. Lutheran South is coming this year. We debated it on the last episode, and Asia Bradford and is it Braden Robinson and the guys are really out here. Love to see it.
Dude, that team's gonna be very, very good this year. I'll give the stat line for Braden Robinson. I think, where is it? Braden Robinson, 7 grabs, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns on offense, 1 interception, and a couple PBUs at safety on defense. Big time player.
Absolutely. San Antonio Cornerstone beats Fort Bend Christian 28-3. FBCA has been really punching out of their weight class the past couple games. Can't really take a whole lot out of it, but you got to put up more than 3 points.
Like you said, punching up with their weight class, just 2 weeks you want to throw out for Fort Bend, but good win for Cornerstone.
Holy Cross eliminate San Antonio Christian 45-0. The South runs through San Antonio.
Yeah. I'll leave it with this. Does Holy Cross run San Antonio? We will find out this week.
So that's the Holy Bowl. I know that now. Moving on. Brazos Christian wax Austin Hill Country Christian 41-18. I'll do two sentences. Number one, shout out to Central Texas analyst Steven Johnson for covering that game. Number two, shout out to Trent Goodyuck, who apparently had a really big game. I think about three touchdowns, and Cooper Murr just finding him all over the place. Shout out Coach Wash and the boys.
Yeah, for Austin Hill Country, that's a rough time to get back into taps, or like their welcome to taps moment is a rough one, but good win for Brazos.
Houston St. Thomas falters to Lake Creek 41-10. Not great. Don't really care. Big public school. Talk to me when they play another private school.
Yeah, that's a game that it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but Lake Creek's a good school.
ESD just takes Trinity Valley to the woodshed 41-0. I take back my previous statement about the Fort Worth Christian being my worst pick ever. This is probably my worst pick ever. What is that?
4A, 3A. It's hard to compare, but yeah, big time ESD. Shout out to Jake Jerky and company.
Well, on the flip side, St. John's beats Houston Christian 32-17. I mean, a great win for St. John's, but I think also a good showing for Houston Christian and really cementing themselves, playing a better team in 4A closer than TVS played a worse team in 4A. Good for Houston Christian. Also better for Cole Allen and Shake win.
Yeah. This was a close one until the fourth, where they got blown out, but big win for Cole Allen and company.
Shiner St. Paul, a name we haven't said in a while, actually, falters to Bay Area Christian 22-7. I don't know if I have a single sentence on this game. We need to get out to Bay Area Christian someday.
I'll be out there. I'll be at Brazos Christian for them when they play them week four. So that'll be a fun one. Shout out Landon Hall and company.
Awesome. Texas High out of Texarkana beats Argyle Liberty 52-35. I think this really just tells us how good 2022 Parrish was. I know we've been talking crazy about Liberty, and they're obviously still the favorites, but I think 2022 Liberty, probably that's, if they played Sauk that close, they might win that game.
Yeah. Sure. You know, Oregon commit, I forget his name, had like three touchdowns for Texas High. So when you face him, and dude, there is a 2027 offensive lineman for them that was mauling guys on Liberty. Sorry, Liberty, but man, he was dominating. But yeah, I mean, that's the toughest test for them all season, and no one will come close. But that's a good test for that Liberty squad.
Moving on, San Antonio TMI beats Houston Village 48-6. No comment. I really don't care about that game at all.
What's the quarterback over there? What's the Grant Sweeney Supremacy. Shout out to TMI. Big win for them.
I lied. I do care about that game because I like Grant Sweeney a lot. Shout out to San Antonio TMI. Next game, Bishop TK Gorman falls to New Braunfels Christian 54-40. Listen, to see Bishop Gorman put up 40 points in a game is something that I haven't seen in a long time. I got to ride with my Tyler schools. Shout out to New Braunfels Christian for getting the win. But to see Gorman start to rise from the ashes a little bit when it looked very dire there for a second, it makes me happy. It makes me smile.
I want to give a shout out to 2027 quarterback Brady Joseph. He's the younger brother of Parker Joseph, who was the quarterback there for a minute. He went 25-34, 364, and two touchdowns in the win over Bishop Gorman. That's one to watch for going forward.
Fort Worth Country Day, I'm running out of adjectives, annihilates McKinney Christian 66-7. So 3A might be a tighter race than we thought. Need to dig in on Country Day and see who they've got, because they've been performing quite well to begin the year.
Yeah. Good win for Country Day. That battle of Brian Irvin in a couple weeks is going to be special.
So that being said, that will wrap up the TXPS Media Football Scoreboard powered by Ryan Schroeder, who does a fantastic job with that every week. I always like doing that just because it gives us a wider coverage of games. So everyone pretty much gets a little, at least a little blurb said about them. But Well, we'll take up the majority of the rest of the episode that we have to do in 30 minutes because we have an intern meeting coming up pretty quickly, is recap the five games of the week that we had, starting with Regents at Kincaid. Kincaid was a 14.5 point favorite, and they won by about that much, a little bit more actually, 18 points. Kincaid wins 33-15 in this one. Wayne Shanks goes for, from what I could tell on film, about 150 yards and two touchdowns, as the sophomore is doing about what we expected at this point in the year. Doing very, very well. Capobianco played well as well. And the biggest takeaway for me, again, there was no box score on this game. I'm going basically just off bits and pieces of film that I watched. But overall, it's Kincaid holding Regents to 15 points, a team that scored 7 passing touchdowns against a good Lorena squad last week. I said on the episode, even though I picked Regents, that I like Larned's ability to scheme regardless of the athletes he has in said scheme. And he really got out and did that this previous week. Walker, there's a couple things that I have regarding what this means for both squads. As Kincaid, I think it cements themselves as the top dogs in 4A. We had them there at the beginning of the year going out and handling who we thought was one of the better teams in the North. Really says how well they are on track to compete. In terms of Regents, I think that they should be fine in a weak district, especially after we see Hyde Park struggle against Lutheran South. However, the playoffs, I think, could get dicey as they are in the North now, and that bracket's going to be a little bit tougher. What do you think about those 2 points?
Yeah, I get your, I think I agree with you for the most part on everything. Regents, yeah, that's a rough one, especially only that many points to fit offensively. Kincaid's always been known to have a pretty good defense and, you know, have the guys to be athletic enough to stop those guys, and being able to hold Blake Smith, Cade Millington, and other guys to only 15 points, that's pretty dang impressive. So shout out to them. That's a big win for them over a really solid team. So looking towards the future, yeah, it's going to be interesting with a game we're about to talk in a second where Fort Worth Christian didn't look too hot to there. You could definitely see it All Saints Regents matchup in a couple weeks. That definitely will be one to watch. Big win for Kincaid. This proves to them probably that, hey, we're going to be still the top team in the SPC 4A. And they have a couple weeks of non-district slates that are going to be tough games that they're going to keep proving that to us, hopefully, or maybe not. And then we have even more chaos.
Absolutely. So we will be watching both of these teams closely as we move on. Moving to the next game is Fort Worth Christian at Second Baptist, where Second Baptist was a 21.5 point favorite and, you know, kind of surpassed that metric. Walker?
Yeah.
What the heck happened?
Dude, I don't know. This is a full team display by Second Baptist. I don't know if it was bus delay or bus fatigue. I don't know if it was the rain. I don't know what happened, but dude, from the get-go, it just did not look good for Fort Worth Christian. And you got to play a little bit of test of that too, Second Baptist, where Second Baptist offense, defense, special teams just performed and showed out the entire time. Offensively, of course, who else than Cannon Toon? 6 touchdowns, 5 of those coming in the first half, and just absolutely dominates the entire time. He was able to do things with his legs, do things with his arms. And I was talking to the guys on the sideline. He looks way more confident and like composed than maybe he did last year a couple times, where those games under his belt his sophomore year, where it was supposed to be Turner Murdoch, probably helped him way much to be much more confident going into this game, where he basically was able to do whatever he wanted to tonight. 6 touchdowns. There's a play on we put on our Instagram that has two spin cycles, taking one guy all the way to the end zone. Probably one of the best videos we've ever gotten. And that's how confident he is. He's a Division I guy. He can do the things you need to, and he takes that offense a long way. The offensive line looked great against a defensive line that we talked a lot about and how being one of the best in Division II. Cannon only got like sacked like 3 times, but those came later in the game to where he was able to do pretty much as one, and kind of they shut that offensive line with Lucas Mensing, TJ Walker, and RJ Lee looked phenomenal. And they let Cannon do basically whatever he wanted back there. And also let Langston Davis run the ball really well tonight. Probably one of the best games we've ever seen from him this year and his career. So you got to give credit to the offensive lineman with those three dudes and others. Like, that was a impressive, impressive performance by those guys. You got to shout out to them. Defensively, Cash Harris and others, Andrew Vessel, Ethan Dishman. I mean, those guys did not have, they did not let Landon Gigliotta have a great time out there. Landon was just off. I don't really know what it was. It was kind of like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it was like it was there. It was like it was there. Like, the offense was like, it was almost there. They just couldn't reach the potential. Like, I don't know how else to say it. So I don't want to say like, yeah, it was like the worst thing ever, because I don't think it was. Like,
I mean, they put up 63 last week, and even though it's against Covenant Christian, you have to have a competent offense to put up 63 points.
Right. So I think it was there. It just was not there yesterday. And I think that's a credit to the Second Baptist defense. There was botched snaps on, like, because of the rain and the grass. Like, there was a couple things here and there that just didn't go their way, but Landon just couldn't make it. Like, the things were there, they just couldn't nail the passes. Like, it was those type of things where it just wasn't in sync all the way through. So do I think they're gonna be good this year? Yeah. Did that show last night or Friday? Absolutely not. That is definitely a game you throw out the tape, like for Ben week one, you throw that tape and burn it. You do not look back at that, because that's not truly what Fort Worth Christian is, but that's truly, I think, who Second Baptist is. Great defense, an offense that can be very explosive under Cannon Toon, and special teams. And the kicker, I forget his name, but he did really good as well. Three levels of a team. And I kind of said it, which, of course, you have to take it one game at a time. That's a team you'll see in Waco if they could play like they did yesterday or Friday. That's a good team. Bryce Butler looked great. I mean, what more do you want from this team? They have dudes all over the place. They can make plays, make the big plays, make the small plays of just being gritty as well. That's a really good football team I watched there yesterday. So shout out to Coach Walker for the hospitality. When it started pouring, he let me under the like where they do like
the canopy.
The scoreboard and all that. Yeah. He's like, hey, come join us. So that was appreciative. And yeah.
Dude.
It was awesome. Yeah. Shout out to the hat, man. I love this hat. I'll be wearing it often. Hopefully when we pick games and I pick Second Baptist to win a couple of them, I'll have them supporting them. So yeah, always a good time down at Second Baptist. Great school, great facilities, great people. And yeah, that's basically it.
Absolutely. What I will say regarding both teams, because you just provided a really detailed analysis of the game, I'll go a little more high level, is that in terms of Second Baptist, they have two games that I'm looking towards, one of them actually is a district game. The game against Kincaid on September the 27th is going to be huge, because we've obviously seen Kincaid has the ability to go up against bigger teams and play with them. So I'm interested to see how that will go with Larned scheming. And then also versus Lutheran South on October the 11th. I think that has the potential to be, that's going to be their toughest district test, most likely, unless TWCA, who I do think is improved. But between Lutheran South and TWCA, I think those are going to be, it's going to tell us really, really where where Second Baptist is. In terms of Fort Worth Christian, this is not at all the end all be all for them. They have a pretty easy district schedule, with the exception of All Saints, obviously, because All Saints is just looking like they are absolute world beaters at this point in the season. But their district slate is Trinity Christian, Midland Christian, SCS, All Saints, and Faith, who just lost to Dallas HSCAA, who has some great athletes. Two of them were at the retreat. So I remember somebody texted us and was like, Faith just lost to a homeschool. And I was like, that homeschool's got some dogs. I'm like, yes, don't get distracted by the name. But, that being said,
by the way, to represent those guys, Jordan Davis, it's HSAA. I don't want to get those guys guy. But yeah, Jordan Davis and company. I want to say, is his brother Tyson? Yeah, Tyson Davis, I think. Jordan and Tyson Davis, the twins, man, they're very, very good athletes.
They're dogs, but high level overview for it with Christian. I don't think it'll, this isn't the end all be all. They should whack TVS next week. Lake Country might be interesting. And then, you know, Midland Christian will probably be their closest game in district because All Saints will smack them most likely. And then they should smack SCS and Faith. So they'll still be a playoff team. And maybe, you know, it's a team that I think of like All Saints in 2022, where they could struggle early in the year, especially with all those transfers. But if they really start to click, and peak at the right time, to use an old cliche, I think they could be dangerous. So I'm not completely off the hype train yet. We're pumping the brakes slightly on that, but we will move on to another game. A huge game, a game that was not indicative of the result last year. Episcopal at Parrish, the first game on the beautiful, glorious Snyder Stadium's new blue turf. Parrish was an 8.5-point favorite. They did cover that line. Sawyer Anderson throws for 324 yards, surpassing 10,000 career passing yards as Parrish bests the SBC champions 45-21. Bryson Fields and Jalen Pyle eclipse the century mark receiving as both of them and Carson Darby catch touchdowns from Anderson. Marcus Hainish goes for 95 yards on the ground as both he and Nick Wheeler add rushing scores to their tally. And then Guy Stern had a fantastic game. He adds three tackles for loss from a safety spot. And I'm really, really high on that Parrish secondary, that kind of five-man back end that they run. We got some added notes from our good friend Spencer Pattison, who does some great work helping us out. Although he's not affiliated with us, he kind of quasi is because he provides us so much information.
He's freelance, so you know
he is freelance. So we get TXPS might kind of we might claim Spencer a little bit unless he revokes that claim, but I don't think he will. But he was the one that tipped me off that Sawyer surpassed 10,000 career passing yards. He said Parrish looked dominant. Their offensive line looked much better than they did last week against All Saints. He said Nick Wheeler spent time at running back and he looked very solid. He said in terms of Episcopal, it was Devontae Taylor who had an interception and a return touchdown. So Walker, I know everyone, I don't know if everyone was, there's probably a few people jumping off the Parrish hype train after last week, whenever they lost to All Saints. And I reckon back to last year, whenever they had a pretty rough non-district against a bunch of really good teams. And some people were like, and they were coming off that 2022 legendary season. And there were people that were saying, Parrish has regressed. It's not a state title year. Houston St. Thomas is going to win the title. And I was just like, let's slow down a little bit. Non-district as important as it can be, the games really don't count in the grand scheme of things. Parrish makes a great statement against a team they fell to last year. Your high level overview takeaways from this matchup.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of said it on the space, go listen to our space every Friday night. I mean, this was kind of Parrish was a good team and they were never going to lose twice in a row. It's just not in their DNA. And they're not going to lose on the first week of this new blue field that they have. It was just A plus B was not going to equal C in this scenario. But I mean, I think you say it really well in the point of when you have Novikov, who knows this offense like he likes in and out, and also a quarterback who's done this for 3.5 years now in and out, that's a recipe for success. And I like that they move Nick Wheeler to running back. I think that's a pretty cool concept and a bigger back that's going to be able to make plays. I love that. And I just think they're a good squad. And Episcopal, like I said on the preview last week, is you lose Carson Gordon. And I think Bloomgren is a good quarterback. And he put up 21 points on a good Parrish defense. So it's not like it isn't bad. But you lose a UCLA commit who is a superstar athlete. It just did stuff in the Olympics, the Youth Olympics, that was sensational. Shout out to him for that, by the way. But, like, that's how good this guy is. And when you lose a guy like that, it takes some time to regrow and, come back from that. Do I think Episcopal is going to be a good team? Yes. Do I think they're still probably going to be the favorite going into SBC 4A State Championship this year? No, but I think they're going to make it this year. So it's not like they take a massive step back, but that team last year was an elite top five team in private school last year. I don't think that's Episcopal this year. So I still think it's a good test for them, shows to the level that they need to play at for the weeks to come. But yeah, Parrish is a better team in that one, and it showed on Friday night.
Absolutely. So yeah, Parrish back on the right track. Episcopal, will still be good, but in a harder, more stacked 4A this year could be interesting. Let us move on to the second to last game we will cover. Some would call it the penultimate matchup. Preston Wood at All Saints Episcopal. And man, I wish I could have been at this game because it seemed like another electric one. It came down to the wire. Ryan was updating us in real time. It was fun to cover. But ultimately, All Saints best Preston Wood 31-27. Junior receiver Hudson Reaser for All Saints had 5 receptions for 128 yards and a touchdown. I think he was matched up on David Madison, so that's all the more impressive that the junior could get that off against, you know, a legitimate power four guy, one of the best safety or cornerbacks that we see in taps today. Kamonte Williams had 95 yards and a touchdown. This, I do have to mention, this catch by Matthew McClain that we collaborated on Instagram. Holy cow. That's one of the best receptions I've seen. I know they lost, but that's one of the best receptions I've seen in a while. Just absolutely went up. And when I say literally grabbed, he literally grabbed the ball on top of this dude's head, picks it up, stumbles, puts his hand on the ground, gets back up, and runs in for a touchdown. It was incredibly impressive. Luke Glass continues his impressive campaign with 233 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I have the last note here is it just says, Harwell, colon, good. Jack Harwell's really good at football. You know, I watched his tape. He didn't have a sack this game, but he had a couple of nice tackles for loss. He's not playing nose anymore, and I'm 90% sure he was for a while, unless I just completely have that wrong. They've got him split out. What is that? The C gap where he's over the tackle, kind of into the tackle and the guard. Yeah, I don't speak. I don't speak a linebacker or defensive lineman very well because Grace didn't blitz their safeties that much because you don't want a 155-pound kid trying to rush the quarterback. But that being said, Jack Harwell even split out wide. I mean, against one of the best offensive lines in taps, he got his. I know I'm kind of the Jack Harwell propaganda minister at this point, but that kid needs more offers. He's so good. But back to All Saints who won this game. Walker, this is an incredibly impressive performance. I don't think they, and I've said this to everyone at All Saints, and I'll say it again. Keldon Ryan is irreplaceable. He is one of one, and you're seeing that at Soto right now. But I don't know if there's a kid that, that is true. But
817, shout out North Crowley, 817 representing the city. Anyways, continue.
I don't know if there's a kid that fits that offense better. The Josh Allen of taps, Gavin Parkhurst. That dude is a man. Rice is getting an absolute steal. Him and Tyson Flowers, we just had a pick six yesterday. I mean, that's going to be our private school call. I might rep them over A&M. But that being said, All Saints really cementing themselves as the favorites in D2. Preston Wood is still, at the end of the day, a good showing against a really, really good squad. I think this is a good game for both teams. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
No, yeah, this was a... we needed someone at this game, but we had other games we had to go to. But we need people to join the family and keep going and growing and growing and go cover games, because that sounded like a banger of a game. That sounded awesome. I want to give a shout out, underrated shout out to Cole Powell Freeman.
Yes,
is a guy that in the past 2 weeks has been such a underrated Swiss Army knife for that All Saints team, and the guy who won them the game in this one where he had the final score for All Saints to put them up 31-27. He had a big plays in the first one against Parrish. You know, we talked a lot about other running backs, and I think he deserves a shine to be like the main back for All Saints this year. So shout out to him. But offensive line as well, you know, in the past, they've always had dudes, you know, like speaking of the Brockemeyers in 21, like they've always had guys, you know, at the offensive line position. But I think even in 22 when they had what was his name? Anyways, they had dudes on the offensive line for the past couple of years. I think this is the most cohesive and put together group in a very long time for them that is actually moving dudes. They always had the names on the offensive line, but I think Charlie Johnson, that's who I was talking about. This is the group, I think, that is really about that action. And I'm really impressed with this group. So, but yeah, that's a big win. And I think it's awesome seeing All Saints not quit in that game either, where it was coming down to the wire where they finally get the stop with like 6 minutes left to go. And now Then they look at this. You ready? Shout out to Ryan Schroeder for doing this. They Preston Wood punted All Saints with 6 minutes to go. They didn't get a drive going. They had to punt it to Preston Wood again with 3 minutes to go. After that, in 3 minutes, I'm guessing their defense got it back or so their de you know, they got it back, and in under a minute, All Saints won that game. That is the definition of not quitting till the very end. Shout out to All Saints. That's a big, big win.
I can't believe I haven't mentioned this man before now because I'm just watching his film from this game. Dalton Knapp
Oh, he was
is
phenomenal in this one. That's,
a
yeah.
monster. Watching him rush off the edge is the video of it should be in the Louvre. I mean, it's beautiful, it's poetic. He is a monster. Kansas State is going to be so lucky to have him. What is he, a three-star prospect? I give that man more stars, dude. Five sacks, two strip sacks, and a safety. He is an absolute man. He's a beast, dude. I cannot wait. I've got some friends that are K-State fans, and I'm going to be sending them his tape from this game and say, y'all might not know about this kid, but you probably will in a couple of years because I think he's going to make plays on Saturday. So all that being said, All Saints poised to make a run, hopefully at a title in Division Two. We will be there to update you all the way. Preston Wood going to be just fine. A good showing against a really good team. So now we will move on to a game that pains me to cover a little bit, but not really, because I like both sides in this game a lot. Grace Community versus First Baptist. I will fully eat crow on this. I mentioned in the previous episode, there have been times that I have picked Grace because the name on the front of the jersey is Grace, and I don't root against my guys. And more often than not, I've been right in those games because Grace, plays above their level in a lot of those games. I really did think that people would get distracted at the top-end talent the First Baptist had and would overlook the depth that Grace Community brought to the table. And I thought it'd be a classic D2 versus D4 game where the D2 team just kind of ground Community would dominate First Baptist in the trenches. And after the game, Coach LeVorn called me over to their like post game, like before their prayer, their little huddle. And I walked up, and the first thing that Corey Thomas, who is an absolute monster, more on him in a second, first thing he said one word to me. He looked at me and said, "Trenches." And I'm like, "You are absolutely right. Y'all absolutely dominated them." So there's two sides of this story. The first is First Baptist's offensive line absolutely moved Grace's front. I mean, it wasn't, and this game wasn't just First Baptist going over the top to Caleb Mitchell and Bradley Mays. Well, they both of them caught long receiving touchdowns. It was a lot of 6, 7, 8 yard runs where their front just absolutely wore down Grace. The first score of the game was just a quarterback power by Quincy Reams, where I think, I don't know if it was, no, it was Mark Grayson pulling, blocking, and just takes a Grace linebacker completely out of the play. And then on the defensive front, you have to give a huge shout out to First Baptist secondary with Micah Foster, Harden, and Tucker Brown. They were allowed to just play cover zero on the back end and bring seven guys every play, and Grace just couldn't do anything against it. I mean, they had a couple good plays. McCade Stinson threw a nice long touchdown, had a couple good plays. You're going to break some against a cover zero man defense when they're blitzing. But overall, I mean, that cover zero allowed guys like Mark Grayson, Corey Thomas, and George Anagostis to do just absolute work against Grace's front. Like I mentioned, Quincy Reams, I mentioned this in his headshot. Quincy Reams looks like a completely new man at First Baptist. He was great at Dunn, but getting in First Baptist's system has allowed him to flourish as a true dual threat quarterback. And I remember seeing sparks of it. I remember texting Walker whenever I was at Bishop Dunn when Reams was he was going into his junior season. He was a sophomore in the spring. And I said, this kid shows flashes. He's not there yet, but he can be really good. He right now is what I imagined he would turn into. And I'm so excited for that kid the rest of the way. Caleb Mitchell, y'all all know. I mean, he's the UTSA commit, is a monster. He had, a long receiving touchdown, a couple more long receptions. Just Grace DBs can't cover him, point blank, period. Bradley Mays is the same way. And they're also playing Mays at cornerback. having Mays as a 6'3 corner, and then I forget who else is on the outside, but both of them played incredibly well. I mentioned George Anagostis was a freak. I'm trying to go back. Mark Rayson. We've raved about Mark Rayson for so long. He's a heat-seeking missile on defense and on offense whenever he gets the ball. It took like five Division II players to bring him down. Imagine what he's going to do against D4. And then also a guy I want to shout out is senior athlete Amari Zamora, a new transfer. Dude, he had a play where Grace ran a little reverse. He picked the running back up, drove him two steps back, and WWE pile drove him into the ground. He's also a great receiver. It's just, they're all going to be so good. And then Corey Thomas, there's one play where he just discarded his blocker, got a big tackle for loss. And the other is, it's showing the athleticism because he slimmed down from last year. He retains the same power he had, and he's honestly probably a little bit stronger, but he's so much more agile. He looks like a Division I prospect. Grace's entire offensive line cut, and he literally just jumped over the cutting blockers and went and volleyball spiked the pass. It's on our Twitter by his headshot. It's incredible. All that to say, incredible athletes, incredible coaching. Jason LaVorne, I've spoken at length at how well he develops these guys. And also, when you've got Coach David Robinson, who everyone knows D-Rob, a pro trainer, Dez Bryant's trainer for a long time, an incredible developer of wide receivers. You bring in Coach, I think it's Jonathan Wade, that played at Tennessee, I think, and an incredible DB coach. And then Brandon Tucker, Trench Warfare Training, is now on staff at First Baptist, developing guys like Corey Thomas. I mean, it's not just you have raw talent. It's you have the best in the business developing this talent. I know this is about 10 minutes I've spoken without taking a break. First Baptist wins 28-15. I didn't mention that yet. Grace Community, McCade Stinson looked good. Just not a whole lot you can take from this game. They'll be fine in district. First Baptist is a lot better than most of the teams they're going to play in district. I think they'll be fine. But that being said, Walker, any high-level thoughts after that monologue I just gave regarding the game?
No, I think you said it perfectly. I'll keep it short and sweet. Good win for First Baptist. Thank you for proving me right. And I would love to play like Laughing to the Bank by Chief Keef right now in the background of this just to make fun of you for this pick. But I won't because the idea is there. But yeah,
that's fair. I'll eat crow. I mean, we were even texting before the game and even up until game time, like we won't release the text, but I was basically just saying like, no, Grace is going to win this game. The front's going to dominate. And they just flat out didn't, but they'll be fine in district. First Baptist will be much more than fine. They will dominate, I think, all the way to the state championship. But that is all that we have on Grace versus First Baptist. That is also all that we have regarding the five games of last week to recap. So that is the week two recap. Walker, very shortly, because we have an intern meeting coming up in about 45 seconds here. Thoughts, comments, concerns regarding week two looking into week three?
No, good week. This was a great slate and it proved us right. Very, very good slate. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. I am as well. So all of that being said, we will get back in your feeds this coming Thursday with the week three preview, another great slate of games on the horizon. As always, I have been one half of your hosting crew, West Halls, and Walker Lott has fantastically been himself. We will see you Thursday with a week three preview. See you later.